Let's start with Hermes desktop, because three separate videos landed on it this week, and together they say something more interesting than any one of them does alone. The first thing worth noting is how much simpler the installation story has become. AI MIT Arne covers this in what's essentially an onboarding video, and the headline is that you no longer need the Windows subsystem for Linux to get the thing running. There's now a proper desktop app. You connect your local models through Olimar, or you point it at OpenAI or Codex or whatever cloud provider you prefer, and you're off. That might sound like a minor quality of life improvement, but it's actually a meaningful shift in who can realistically use this without spending an afternoon troubleshooting their environment. The second video from the same channel goes considerably deeper. 10 concrete use cases, which is a useful format because it forces specificity. We're talking GDPR-compliant invoice processing, where sensitive documents stay on device, Git repository management running as a background process, cron jobs executing on a VPS, so your automations don't depend on your laptop being open. There's Obsidian integration, N8N for multi-step workflows. The picture that emerges is less AI chatbot you can run locally and more composable automation layer that happens to use language models as its reasoning engine. And that distinction matters, because the third video, Brian Kaysel's piece, reframes the whole conversation in a way I found genuinely clarifying. His video is titled something like Hermes versus Claude Cowork. Wrong question, and he's right that it's the wrong question. He runs both platforms simultaneously and makes no apology for it. Hermes handles his routine background work, SEO health monitoring, content aggregation, code repository management. Claude Cowork handles the creative, higher stakes tasks. Content ideation, design work, the things where quality variance actually costs you something. The detail I liked most, he routes his Hermes interactions through Discord rather than the native interface. Not for any exotic reason. Discord just renders Markdown properly and lets you use threads, which turns out to make a meaningful difference when you're issuing structured commands to an agent. It's the kind of pragmatic workaround that only emerges from actually using something day-to-day rather than demoing it. His broader argument is the one worth sitting with. He's not particularly attached to either platform, because he knows they'll both look different in 6 months. What he's attached to are the underlying patterns, the way he's structured his processes so they can be lifted from one platform and dropped onto the next without starting from scratch. That's a genuinely useful mental model. The platforms are the implementation detail. The workflow architecture is the asset. All three videos are careful to note, in their different ways, that none of this is beginner territory. You need to be comfortable with the server administration, API keys, and the conceptual model of how agents delegate tasks. If you're not, Hermes will not simplify your life. It will redistribute the complexity somewhere less visible, which is arguably worse. What this week made clearer than any single previous week: agent infrastructure isn't a product anymore. It's a composition. Local models, cloud APIs, communication channels, automation backends, these things interlock, and the quality of your architecture determines whether you get genuine 24/7 autonomy or just a more elaborate way to babysit a process. Moving to Anthropic's tooling, and specifically to Brian Kaysel's test of Claude Fable, which is Anthropic's new flagship model, sitting above Opus in the lineup. Kaysel is refreshingly uninterested in toy demos. He tests Fable on a real project, an extension to his existing Rails tool called Residence Radar, which he uses for content curation. The extension adds social media monitoring across YouTube, X, Reddit, and LinkedIn, with trending topic metrics, magnitude, velocity, outlier score, to surface what's gaining traction in the AI building community. That's not a contrived benchmark, that's a feature someone actually wants. His process is worth describing because it's the more interesting part of the video. Rather than immediately opening Claude Code and typing, "Build me a social media monitor," he spends time with the model doing strategic scoping first. They work through design decisions together, and he documents everything in a scoping document with explicit verification criteria, essentially a definition of done with a checklist. Then he feeds that entire document into Claude Code, running Fable. The result? A complete implementation with a new UI, including a watch list for external sources and the trending topics section with those visual metrics, delivered in an iteration that would normally have taken several rounds. Kaysel's explanation for why is worth noting. When the model has explicit success criteria to check its own work against, the refinement loop compresses dramatically. It's not finishing and waiting for you to find the problems. It's finishing and auditing itself first. There were still some UX issues after the first build. Confusing metric labels, some padding problems. He fed those back and Fable fixed most of them in a second short pass. Not perfect, but the gap between initial build and something usable was meaningfully smaller than he expected. The caveat he's honest about, Fable costs roughly twice what Opus does, and as of June 22nd, it's only available on a pay-as-you-go API basis. It's no longer included in the Max plan. So the question stops being, can the model build this? And becomes, is this particular job worth the premium? That's actually a more interesting question, and probably the right one to be asking. Not every task justifies the top-tier model. Knowing which tasks do is a skill in itself. There's a separate Castle video this week that addresses something quieter but genuinely annoying if you've spent any time building UIs with AI agents, design drift. The symptom is familiar. You ask Claude Code to add a new page, and it comes back looking slightly different from everything else. Different spacing, slightly off typography, buttons that don't quite match. Because each session starts without a shared design reference, the agent reinvents the interface from scratch every time. His solution is a central design system. Colors, typography, spacing, components, anchored in the Claude.md or agents.md file so that every UI request draws from the same source of truth. He's built a Rails and React starter template with this already integrated, which he mentions is publicly available, though no URL was given in the video. The principle is straightforward enough that you could implement it without the template. But having it baked into the project from the start is clearly easier than retrofitting it later. He's fairly direct about that. Applying a design system to an existing codebase is harder than starting with one. It's a small video in terms of scope, but it addresses a real failure mode that I suspect a lot of people have hit and attributed to the model being bad at design, when actually the model is fine. It just has no memory of what it decided last time. A few things that came up this week that didn't get deep treatment but are worth a quick mention. Hermes apparently supports connections to Telegram and Slack, in addition to Discord, and there's a comfy UI integration for image generation. None of the videos went into detail on any of these, but they're indicative of the platform's integration radius. It's clearly trying to be the hub that connects to everything rather than a standalone tool. And the Castle Starter template for Rails and React with the design system built in was mentioned as a public resource, but without a specific URL, worth looking for if you're building in that stack. The thread running through the whole week, if I had to pull one out, is this. The competence that's becoming genuinely scarce isn't the ability to prompt a model. It's the ability to architect a system, knowing which model to use for which job. Knowing how to structure a scoping document so the model can verify its own work. Knowing how to separate your routine background processes from your high judgment creative work and route them to different platforms. Knowing how to build a design system that survives across sessions. None of that is particularly glamorous. It doesn't make for a good demo clip, but it's the difference between someone who has a collection of interesting AI experiments and someone who has actually changed how they work. The tools are getting capable enough that the bottleneck has quietly shifted, and this week made that shift unusually visible.